I'm going to invite Ben up first.
I love to run. Many of you know that. That's probably the first thing I tell people who want to know more about me. This past spring, I was captain of my outdoor track and field team, so that was pretty cool. I was the best on the team, you know? I wanted to win more than anyone else. Everybody else hated the running, but I embraced it. I loved it. You know, I was better than anyone else on that team. At least, that's what I thought. So I thought I would. My friend Adrian, who is 2 years younger than I am, mind you, got it instead, beating me out by a scant 5 points. I always pray before my races, God, let me do my best for your glory. But somewhere along the line, I stopped making it about me. I started making it about me and stopped making it about him. He noticed. What I went through is pretty common. Look around at society today. Everything is about self-glorification and doing things for yourself. We're proud of what we've done, and we let that inflate our ego. So what happens as a result? We get separated from God. So let me talk to you about a guy named David. Not my brother, but the David from 2 Samuel. David was a king of one of the most powerful nations on the planet at the time, the Kingdom of Israel. And what I absolutely love about David is that he's so human. He's just like us. He had ups, he had downs, he had mistakes. He had joys, he had sadness. He had hopes and dreams, and he had failures. David, like the rest of us, had problems with pride. 1 Samuel 13:14 calls David a man after God's own heart, but David sometimes let his ego get in the way of serving God. 2 Samuel 24 details this. When David takes a census of the people to see how large his forces are and how many reserves he has. Now some people, like myself, would say, what's the big deal? I mean, our country does the same thing, you know. But the difference between this census and our census is, our census is a way to find out how many congressional representatives each state gets. David wasn't exactly planning an ancient Congress. He most likely wanted the census to make him feel powerful about the large number of people who live beneath him. The total in 2 Samuel 24, verse 9, comes to 1.3 million people who are able to wield a blade. To put that in perspective, the current size of the United States Armed Forces, active personnel, all branches included, is 1.3 million. Israel was a BC military powerhouse, and by taking this census, David wanted to take all the credit for it. By drawing attention to himself and his accomplishments, David was glorifying his human ability. But this whole census business also revealed an insecurity on the part of David. By taking comfort in his great numbers, David revealed a lack of trust in God's protection and power and care. Whoops. So let's recap. David got proud, did a foolish thing because of his pride, and separated himself from God. I'm pretty sure that describes the life experiences of everyone here, myself included. But that's not the end of the story, because David realized what he did was wrong. In verse 10, he prays to God for forgiveness and asks him to take away his guilt. God does forgive him, but he also punishes Israel for David's pride by sending a plague. When David sees his people falling, he asks God in verse 17, "Let your hand fall upon me and my family." David didn't try to flee the consequences of his failure. Instead, he was willing to accept all of the punishment. David came back to God with a repentant heart. So, what can be learned from this? Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." But if the story of David has taught us anything, it's that the destruction and the fall are sometimes needed to bring us back to God. Suffering can produce humility, and it's that humility that allows us to become reconnected. Paul says in Philippians 2, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very appearance of a servant, being made in human likeness." And And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. In other words, Jesus was one with God, but he still humbled himself so that God's will would be done in his life. If my story from the beginning tells you anything, it shows that I am nowhere near where God wants to be me or be with my humility. Neither was David, but thankfully, I know someone who gives grace to the humble. It's that same grace that we just celebrated at the table of the Lord. If you have suffered because of your pride, like I did, or like David did, don't be afraid. That suffering can lead us to having a humble heart and experience restoration with God. And all we have to do is ask. Thanks.
And we have Ben is going to introduce our final speaker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce my friend and fellow minister in training.
Okay, I'm really happy, scared, excited, crying a little. Okay, I don't have to cry fully yet because I have a year left, and Pastor Mark will do all my crying for me. And before I let this sermon rip, I want to give a little bit of a testimony. So we took a little bit of a road trip to Kentucky. Coach Jerry, Jocelyn, Dakota, and I all in the same car, sass the whole way. And this past convention, I had chains broken that, whew, were holding on to me for quite a few years, and I was holding on to them. And somewhere along the way between convention and nationals, I picked some of them back up again. So a little bit before nationals, I was on a little bit of an emotional roller coaster, happy one minute, really upset the next, literal minutes. And so I went to nationals hoping to get punched in the face by God, like just to knock my emotions back in place. And it happened. I went to a worship service. And I was standing one minute, and I was on my face the next. We were on the balcony. The guy below me thought I was going to drip snot on him, but I didn't. He almost got a little liquid of salvation, but he was fine. He was fine. Nationals took what I had at convention and confirmed it. And as crazy as this sounds, I had to learn how to love God. I had to be taught how to love God, and not only love God, but how to worship him. For me, it's if the music's not right, if the speaking doesn't touch me quite right, if I'm focused on something else, I don't allow myself to open up. And the worship service that I went to, it changed that. And so I walked in this church today and I worshiped. I was like, yes, like I'm ready to do this. So I'm a little bit on fire right now. So I hope your foldy chairs come with seat belts because I'm going to preach. Okay? So buckle up. All right? Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? In a world of planning, prepping, changing, buying, and constantly orchestrating and executing plans, people are looking for some sort of solid foundation. The daily failures and letdowns are hard to swallow when lives are planned down to a T, so much so that improv is not an option. However, plans fail and people change. And for many of us, myself included, change is the biggest obstacle. Many of us cannot handle the idea of a best friend walking away from our lives after so many years, or the death of a loved one close to us. Truthfully, it does not matter how long you spend on a plan or a relationship. It can be one day or 100 years, and it will take 1 second for our world to fall at our feet. So we need something constant, something unchanging, and something unfailing, something that will be there when nothing else is, and that is Jesus Christ. That is God, and that is the Holy Spirit. However, we as humans like things that we can easily see, hear, talk to, and touch, especially if we are way emotional or scarred. This opens the door, mine particularly, for an idol. When I first began my walk with Christ, I clung to the woman who introduced me. I put God in the back seat. He became plan B and somebody else became plan A. I listened to anything she said. I took scripture interpretation without proof or any questions. And I allowed her to build my identity. My friends and family warned me that the strength of the influence was not good. So being a child that clung to anything at that point, I did not listen and it did not work out. And my faith took a serious hit. This is what happens when God becomes your backup plan. God is meant to be our only plan, and with him, we need no other alternative. But I pushed Christ away, and I pulled somebody else closer. So in a relationship that I thought was going to be lifelong fell at my feet, I needed somebody to go back to, and I needed God. Now, people say all the time, I can't go back to God. I can't face God after what I've done. I'm not worthy. I messed up. And I was one of those people, and I did mess up, and I do mess up. And I ended up walking away from that church, and I hurt many, including my own family, in the process. But we don't worship God because we are perfect. We worship God because we are not perfect. And God does not do what we do. When we wrong him, he does not walk away. He stays with us, no matter how bad we've messed up. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He did not leave me when I turned my back on him and left him. Has he said and will he not do it? And oh, he did it. He said he'd never leave me, and although I felt alone during some of my hardships, he used my pain and mistakes to teach me boundaries, when to slow down in a relationship, and he taught me what a good spiritual church body and church home was. He taught me who I was and how to build my identity, but most of all, he taught me who he was and who he is. That is most important because in him, our identity is held. When we know who he is, we then know who we are. God wanted me to know that he is not a man, he is God. That the same emotions that I look at some other people that I have relationships with are not the ones for God. God is completely separate and a love above any other love that we have felt or experienced. What he says he will do every time. No shortcuts, no delays, no take backs. He placed value on my broken heart, a heart that many would deem worthless. And when he did that, my heart became whole again. He does not see as our world sees. So I went back, I picked up my cross, and continued carrying it with him again. Plans and people will fail you. They will let you. There's no question. People are going to let you down. That's why God, that's why people are separate. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When your only plan has a solid, unchanging, unfailing plan for you, that is amazing. God was never meant to be your backup plan. If we had everything under control, if we were right, if we knew what was best for us, we'd be walking in a garden right now. But we are not. We fail and we fall. And when I fail and fall, I want somebody that's going to be there 100% no matter where I am, what I'm, if I'm in the bathroom, if I'm in my room, like, I need God. That is God. Everywhere you are, he is. You cannot escape him. You cannot outrun him. You cannot get away from him. We were not meant to live without God. Therefore, God was not meant to be our backup plan. God should be our only plan. We do not have it figured out. But God keeps every promise. He loves you unconditionally. And when you need your broken heart and all the pieces picked up, that you or someone else broke, he'll piece it back together. When the world crumbles around you and the people you thought loved you leave you, God's still going to be there. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Amen.
Now you see what I mean when I said it just was a blessing to watch the minister of the word. There was no fluff, it was straight out. Hallelujah.